yeah, like Tim says, over the summer, in our little talks, we have given ourselves free rein to talk on what we want. We're calling it memory verses. So particularly picking out verses that are quite punchy, that convey truths in a nice compact way. And I'm looking at this one, or we're looking at this one today. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. We do that some kiddie thing sometimes with memory verses. So we read it out together and then we'll see if we can remember. This is the easiest verse in the world to remember. Can you remember it? Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. It's simple, right? Dead simple. It's a great passage. Sometimes we tune into the difficult passages of the Bible, and that's entirely appropriate. It's summer. I thought we'd bring something light and encouraging and nice to look at today. It's a nice passage, but I'm going to be that bloke who tries to get us to be all interactive and gets like you shouting stuff out. You know that thing that I really hate if other people do it to me? Yeah, I'm doing that. So to start with, I would like you to call out things that we can be grateful for, but before you do that, I want little stuff, little details, things that just kind of bring us gladness, but they're not those kind of, we're going to build up to the big ones. This is where we're going to go this morning. But just kind of little stuff. So I really like it when I get home and my dog jumps up and down like a ridiculous thing because he's so pleased to see me. That gladdens my heart and I rejoice in it. Has anyone got anything else kind of along those lines?
Seasonal vegetables.
I mean, that's almost in the big category. Seasonal vegetables, brilliant. Yeah, it gladdens your heart.
Chocolate.
Yeah, very good.
Coffee.
It's going to be for soon, isn't it? It's always going to be coffee.
Chocolate coffee.
Flowers?
Chocolate coffee.
Chocolate coffee, double up.
Sunshine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In some ways, we could put this building in that category. I know it's a big one, but it's kind of stuff. It's stuff, it's kind of circumstantial, it's things that that bring us joy, that things that delight us. I think I've already mentioned in this church before the benefits, the almost loveliness I've found, and Jen and I actually have found, and just kind of appreciating stuff, and almost talking through those things, you know, recognising the good stuff in our lives, and, you know, the little details, as well as the big things, and just chewing them over together. It's a response to a verse like this. That's not why we do it. We're not being all holy, you know, reading our Bibles, like, well, the Bible says this, we better do this. But it's good for us. It gladdens our heart. It brings us, it develops a sense of gratitude towards God. And it is towards God. This isn't just things that happen to fall in our lap. That passage from James 1, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. It's entirely appropriate that we give thanks to God for everything that we enjoy, all the good things in this world. But there are different kind of levels, categories of things that we can rejoice in. And it's good that we can rejoice, even if things are tough. The letter that this is written to, it's a cheerful letter, it's Philippians. It's Paul's cheerful letter. He's not addressing kind of really difficult stuff in the church like he is with some. And I think we're probably a little bit like that. I like to think that we're a decent church without kind of massive issues that need resolving. Maybe I'm just in this one. But even in this context, we see a couple of verses before. I plead with these two dear women to be of the same mind in the Lord, because they are bickering and falling out, and there's disagreements and frustrations, and it's become enough of an issue that I, Paul, am going to write this in a letter that's going to become written down for all eternity. He knows there's issues in the church, and there's issues in our church, of course there are, because we're people, and you lot are really annoying. You're not really annoying, you're sometimes a little bit frail. Even though we are seasonal vegetables and coffee and chocolate and all of the good things, and my dog jumping up and down, then there are challenges in life, aren't there? And even when, and I know in this room there's people who are going through significant challenges in their life, but still we can look to this voice, this verse, and we can say, rejoice in the Lord always. And so the next almost category of things I'd love you to draw out for us are things that we can be, things that are still around circumstances, I suppose, but we can be grateful for even in the tough times. So I'm kind of thinking, so there are things that can go horribly wrong in life, but I'm thinking things like my family is a constant through my life. And of course those things can possibly go wrong as well. But there are things that even in the tough times, we've got those things that we can stand on and rejoice in. Has anyone got anything else that might fall into that category? I'll give you another one that we could, our church. We've got our church around us and can love and support us in those circumstances.
Friends.
Friends, yeah, absolutely.
Small groups,
yeah.
Work colleagues.
It's funny that we go to people, isn't it? But yeah, people are a real blessing to us, yeah. And we rejoice in people.
Grandchildren.
Delighting. Well, I assume that. I've got a roof over my head at home, yeah. You know, I've got stuff, I've got a job, and those things can go wrong, but they're generally constants in my life. I can rejoice in these things, and they're good. Any others, or should we move on to the next one? Any others you want to just kind of, it's helpful to just draw these out, because we're almost doing this kind of rejoicing in the Lord.
Well, health could be one, but you've got it.
Yeah, appreciating that ability to get up and go to work or go for a run or go for a walk with it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The context of this, or not really the context of this passage, but what this passage goes on to say, our passage was down here, and then a few verses later, Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul's encouraging us to dwell on the things that we can rejoice in, that we can be grateful for. He's encouraging us to do that. Now, we can go a bit silly with this stuff, right? We can go into that kind of positive thinking. If I think hard, you know, well enough, if I keep cheerful enough, then everything will be fine. And actually, we know that's not always the case. You know, sometimes we can have the most positive outlook in the world and things aren't fine. And this isn't that. And we also know that we stand up for injustice and we weep with those who weep. So all those things are true. We still do those things. But Paul is encouraging us to focus on those positive things. I don't know about you, but for me, that takes a certain amount of discipline to do that, because often we enjoy reveling in the negative. Particularly, I don't know if I can, you know, show myself up here, but particularly if it's around people, I can tend to focus on things that I see negative. This is embarrassing saying this. Things that I see negative about people, because we enjoy gossiping, we enjoy making ourselves feel better by pointing out other people's faults, maybe. It's really is kind of showing my own weaknesses, but I'm sure I'm not alone in this. But there's a discipline that I think Paul would encourage us to look, to dwell on, to focus on whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure. And in people, in us as a church, let's be that people who focus on whatever's noble, whatever's pure, whatever's beautiful, whatever's admirable. Let's focus on those things. Again, that doesn't mean that we don't address things where they go wrong. And, you know, I'm not saying that, of course, but let's listen to what Paul's saying and focus on those things that we can rejoice in about one another. It's got to be a healthy place to be, right? So, we've covered a couple of categories of things that we can rejoice in already, or we've touched on them. Not covered them, we've touched on them for a moment. I don't know. Are you into your social medias? Have you seen kind of those memes? There's a meme that seems to be all over the place at the moment. It's kind of a, there's a thing that's
good, and then there's a thing that's better, and then there's a thing that's best, and there's a thing that's mind-blowing. It kind of looks something like this. You see these ones? And then these boxes are filled in with, there's something that's just kind of normal here, and then this is a better way of expressing maybe, and then this is brilliant, and then this one's mind-blowing. And they tend to be very stupid, right? So I've got this one. So you can call something water, or you can call it H2O, which is clever, or if you want to be amazing, you can call it fish air, and then you've got this mind-blowing kind of way of expressing and watch the same thing. Have you seen these? No? Is this new? Is this just my social media feed? Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to try and apply this. So I think we've touched on this one. We've touched on rejoicing over the small things, which is good. It's good, right? And we've looked at things that are constants in our life, but they're still circumstantial. But I think what Paul's getting at is are these bigger, not in that stupid, I mean, this is stupid, right? But not in that stupid way, but he's saying there's a better thing that we can reach for. And I think that when we look at this, this is a little bit semantics, bear with me. But when Paul says rejoice in the Lord always, he's not just saying thank the Lord for some stuff. If you're going to go to Disneyland, right? And if I was to say to you, rejoice in Disneyland, what I wouldn't be saying is go to Disneyland and rejoice in your dog that jumps up and down and the weather and the chocolate. You would rejoice in the Disneylandness of Disneyland, right? Rejoice in, does that make?
Yeah.
Am I just gibbering? Yeah. If you get a new car, I'd say rejoice in your car. I mean, it's a strange thing to say, but you know what I mean. It'd be like rejoice in the thing that you've got. When Paul's saying rejoice in the Lord, he's not saying rejoice to the Lord about anything you think of. He's saying rejoice in the things about the Lord. Yeah? And I think that's what he's getting at. So when we go back to our meme here, I think these are good, this better. Right? Rejoice in the Lord. And so what Paul's encouraging us to do is focus on things that are good about God and about the situation that he draws us into because of who he is and what he's done. And this is the stuff that he's wanting us to do. And we've been doing that this morning. We've been delighting. We've been singing truths about God and our position. And Nolly and James read out passages that draw us into rejoicing about that Hebrews passage. It was doing exactly that, wasn't it? It was drawing that worship, that rejoicing from us and bringing them back to God. It was rejoicing in things of the Lord. So go on then, what can we rejoice about in the Lord? Are there stuff, are there things, are there attributes, are there things that we can call out that we could rejoice about?
He's the same yesterday, today and forever.
And that's massive. That's massive about our God, isn't it? When you think about the implications of that, that's massive. Yeah, his sameness, his unchanging nature. Yeah, it's a big deal. Anything else? Oh, I thought you'd put your hand up. You're just scratching your arm. You're going to have to now. Yeah, Tim.
Creation.
I've been in Derbyshire. Beautiful hills, rivers, forests.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Bit of rain.
Yeah.
All good.
And he made it.
Yeah.
And he gave it to us.
His promises.
Faithful. Doesn't let us down, does it? Yeah.
Love.
He's not just up there being God, looking down on these funny little things on this earth, but he feels love towards us. Yeah. Rejoice in that, right? Sense of rejoice over. Anything else?
It's the same difference, like, if you don't give me perfect balance, so then you work together, like, the kind of usual stuff in our bodies, like, all stuff around the world, the creation, the universe, like.
So it kind of holds all things together and makes it all work, and it's all intricate and amazing.
And the slight change in the big thing is
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true.
yeah, that balance that he holds together. And that works at every scale, doesn't it? If you look into these things, it works on the kind of the subatomic scale, but also the universal scale. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
He suffered for us.
Yeah. Came to this earth. He left the glory of heaven. Lived as a person, which for a God is something he did. He went to that cross for us. And the victory that he won through doing that, that wasn't just kind of to demonstrate his love, but that was full of purpose that we then give him the good of. Anything else?
Because he suffered, we can come to know Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he went through that, we are separated from him. He's kind of got rid of that barrier because he went through. Rejoice in this stuff. Rejoice in it. Each one of these things we said, and we could go on. I mean, I've jotted some things down, which I think we've kind of the things he's done, the things he is, the way he is towards us. Rejoice in these things. So, so what did this one mean? Well, it's not different to that. It's the same as that. But what we can do, what I can do, is that I can almost list these things off. And I did list them in my notes. I've got a list of things about God. Yeah, Christ's death on the cross, my future hope in him, those who've gone before me, the truth of revelation he's shown us, the things he's done among us. You can list these things that are amazing about God, right? And sometimes on a Sunday we can do that. We can sing songs that kind of list brilliant attributes about God. And we kind of, again, I'm revealing maybe more about myself than I want to here. Sometimes we can start singing those and then our mind drifts off. But the tune's kind of cool, so we're singing it, but we're not really focusing on it. But I think that mind-blowing stage is where we almost imbibe those truths about God and we bring them into our very being, right? And I think that's where that mind-blowing stage comes. I think you're making them your own. You're meditating. You're dwelling among those truths of God rather than just kind of God's good and He saved me and sent His Son onto this earth and you're almost listing them off. I can sometimes do this when I pray, right? I can list attributes about God, every one of which is mind-blowing, but I'll just kind of reel them off because it's almost doing things off pat. And in fact, I wrote a prayer that I could pray. So I would often stand here, maybe in the front of church, and I'd say something like, Lord, I thank you for your salvation, your faithfulness, and the way you've won that victory at the cross, and I'm set free from the rubbish in my life, and you're a good father to me, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord, amen. And you can reel those things off, right? And you mean them, and we're sincere, but every one of those is life-changing and mind-blowing, and if we draw those into our being, if you like, and that's a weird expression, they're worth considering and chewing over and meditating on. Actually, I was talking to James the other day about the Book of Psalms, and it's funny that none of you read out from Psalms. I confessed to James the other day, I do not like the Psalms. That's a really bad thing to say, right, if you're a church leader. I don't like one of the books of the Bible. I don't get it. I don't get poetry. I don't understand it. I don't see the point of it. It's just.
I love Psalms.
So I'm not talking to you anymore. I don't get it. But I'm working on that. And what I'm realizing is actually, there's some good stuff in there, right? Oh, wow. But a lot of it's not what they're all about, but throughout that, there's themes that run through the Psalms. There are any number of themes that do. But meditating on God's word, His truth, His laws, run through that. I've got three for you here, but I could have got dozens. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law
day and night. And this is kind of what I'm talking about, this delight in the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord is kind of what David was calling it, because that's what the Old Testament books were called. We've got the Word of God. But it's that delighting in God's stuff, right? And meditating on it day and night. And not just kind of having it as stuff that we intellectually agree with, or reel off if we're going to do a prayer or sing a song on a Sunday morning, but just letting it dwell in us, letting it wash over us, letting it live with us, right? And that's, I think, what I'm encouraging you to do this morning, is to have almost a habitual meditating on the things of God. I remember the days of long ago, I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. Oh, I love your law, I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me, always with me. And it made me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than my teachers. Your statutes, I meditate on them. Again, I find this takes discipline. Discipline's always tricky. So I'm going to tell you what I tend to do with this stuff. This isn't, I hope it's not just a show off, but I hope it's to give you ideas. When I tell you what I've done, it may be that you want to shout out things that are helpful for you. But I walk, I go walking, a dog helps because you look less crazy if you're walking along talking, you've got a dog by your side. But going out into nature, you're talking about Derbyshire, but even North Horsham, you know, you get off the main streets, it's a beautiful place to be in God's creation. You can focus on him, and in that context I can do something of that meditating on God's goodness, and I do, and it's a discipline. And particularly if stuff's tough in my life, getting out with the dog into some countryside and meditating on God's goodness is the best cure I've ever found for feeling rubbish about stuff. That's one of the things I do. First thing in the morning I'll read my Bible. I find that really helpful. I've got time set aside with a coffee, and I read my Bible, and that just kind of puts me in that place of dwelling on the stuff of God. You know, find it helpful. The other thing I do, I really like podcasts and talking books and stuff like that, but probably a couple of years ago I made the decision. So I listen to a lot of them when I'm driving and going on journeys, and I made the decision that the first journey of the day I wasn't going to do that, but on worship music. And that just kind of allows me to have that kind of context where I can dwell on God's stuff instead of on geeky stuff that I also enjoy. Nothing wrong with the geeky stuff, but actually the God stuff I need in my life. I need to regularly get it feeding into my Ian-ness. Do you know what I mean? That meditating, that getting this stuff that I can rejoice in to be in my innermost being. Does anyone else have any handy hints of things that we can do? Because actually, I think someone suggested that you put worship music on in a car, and one Sunday morning I thought, oh, that's a good idea. I'm fairly slow on the uptake with this stuff. But sometimes we have really handy hints that we can share with one another, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite controversial, but actually, before you start listing the things that you want God to do, maybe to sit in silence for half an hour to an hour, depending on your patience,
yeah,
and just meditating on Jesus.
Brilliant, yeah. For me, that would probably be 2 minutes or 3 minutes rather than half an hour.
Before you do the whole, the Spirit reveals something in this scripture to me.
Yeah.
Do the.
No, really good. Allowing God to lead you and
speak to you. It's a very quiet thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. No, great. Yeah, just having that moment of kind of allowing Him to speak. And, yeah, very good.
I think that's kind of what I do a bit in the
mornings.
I'm listening to it. It's just before we launch into prayers or lead into anything. It's like going to just quietly listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Listening.
So that's the same
plans,
thing.
But, you know.
So you're not rushing in and saying, God, can you do this? Can you do this?
Yeah.
Can you help me through this? But just kind of allowing you into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. The Lord's Prayer is a bit like that, isn't it? I'm getting off topic here, but the Lord's Prayer, it's got the give us today our daily bread and forgive us for our sins and all that kind of thing, but it starts off with that, our Father in heaven. Yeah, it's that just kind of coming before Him and then allowing Him to speak before we then get onto the stuff. Yeah?
Speaking and seeing the truth over yourself in unfavorable situations.
Fantastic. Speaking and seeing the truth over yourself in unfavorable situations. Love that. Yeah. Really good. Really good. I know you find worship music and the songs and the words so helpful. Yeah, very good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
gospel.
Saying the Lord's Prayer to everyone, isn't it?
Yeah. I love the Lord's Prayer. It's really good, isn't it? It's better than Psalms. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great structure for praying. So you take each of those lines. I don't know if this is what you mean, but you can do take those lines and kind of expand them.
Sometimes I try and reinterpret it or say it in a different way.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Jesus knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Yeah. Anything else?
One thing I've been trying recently is before to worship and we've been down about times and a lot of people know that I've got bad back and when it's painful I've just simply just things and stuff like that and found it does help. Just remember in that time that you are at the place, God is still at constant.
Yeah.
And you should praise him.
Yeah. Brilliant. So just using those worship songs, using the words, even using the melodies.
Because you've got that pain, you focus on the pain, so it just draws the focus away, which it forces you to focus on that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, the worship is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Worship songs, I mean, they're written by people who are worshipping and they've had truths that they've grasped about God that they've wanted to put into music, largely, you know, maybe people are just kind of doing it for the money, I don't know, but I wouldn't have thought so. Largely, with worship songs, you're getting something that you've grasped about God and you want to share that with other people through worship. And so we're tapping into other people's revelation of the goodness of God as we do that. Yes, Carol.
I find it really hard to pray on my own since John died, but I pray with my dog.
Yeah. Does he join in a lot?
He likes to tell
me. He does. Well.
Especially when I'm walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yeah. No, really helpful. I mean, the other thing, the dog, but also other people. We're gifts to one another, aren't they? Yeah. And there's times I just feel like we can't play, but actually, if you're meeting up with a mate or having a coffee, and then someone says, you know, should we pray together? You can probably do that in a way that you're struggling on your own. We're a real gift to one another, aren't we? Okay. Are there any others, or should we? Because this is basically the end of what I've got to say. But my encouragement is that we do this. That we rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And that will be your seasonal veg and your chocolate and your coffee and your coffee chocolate and I don't know, did we get our food? There was other stuff as well, my dog bouncing up and down. It can be the little silly stuff. It's absolutely right to rejoice in those. And the bigger things, the family, the church, the grandkids, the roof over your head, those things as well, but to rejoice in the things of God and to dwell on those and to consider them and bring them into who we are and just kind of meditate on them, it does us good and is part of our worship to him and it's excellent. So that's it, that's my encouragement is that we do it. Hopefully our ideas of how to do it might have been helpful. But often we get to stages. Sometimes, so you may be sitting there and you're like, yeah, I'm on this. I'm doing this very regularly. I know in my life there's been phases where I've been pretty good at this, and there's been phases where I've not been good at this. And if you're in that place today, my encouragement is to give yourself a boot up the backside and get back into it. Right? That's what it comes down to. True faith. Father, we are so much to be grateful to you for. Lord, you've given us so much. Your generosity in worldly ways, we are abounding in stuff and in wealth and blessings. But Lord, in your ways, in what you've done for us, in how you've revealed yourself to us, in how you've treated us compared to what we deserve, the future that you've got for us, all those things, your faithfulness, your unchangingness, Lord, those things are unbelievably good for us and to us. And Lord, we want to rejoice in these things. Lord, we ask for your help in the discipline, in the remembering, in the concentration to do that. But Lord, we want to be those who delight in you, not just on a Sunday, not just when we think of it through the week, but that we have that kind of lifestyle, that living, that imbibing your stuff and rejoicing in you always. Help us to do that, we pray. Jesus, thank you. Amen. Amen. Shall we do a little bit more of that now and stand together and do exactly that, just rejoice in the Lord in song together. Thanks, buddy.